Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning again. I guess it just rolled over as afternoon now. Good afternoon. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your watch care over us. I ask now that you touch my lips. Let not one word leave them that's not from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody like to play board games? At all? I see a couple over there. What games do you like to play? Monopoly, that's a good one. Scrabble. Scrabble's a good one. Sorry, that's another one. Uno. What would happen? Yes, James. Risk? I like Risk myself, right? That's one of my favorites. I don't have people to play with very much because they don't want to invest hours of time. But I enjoy the game. What would happen, and I'm going to pick on Monopoly because of what it is. What would happen if you decided to play Monopoly and you set up the board, but you couldn't figure out who was going to go first or when you got the property? Well, I'm only going to give $100 for Boardwalk because I want to. You have to, there's rules for the game, isn't there? And we have to follow the rules, otherwise the game would be no fun for anybody. With that being said, we're going to look at the book of Romans for a few minutes. We're going to look in Romans chapter 7. And the discussion in Romans 7 actually begins well before you get to chapter 7. And it talks about sin and the law. The discussion actually starts way back in chapter 5, verse 12, talking about, and Romans is kind of one long conversation, but this portion about sin and the law begins back in chapter 5. And remember, these divisions, chapters 1 through 12, we're not there in this original script. So if we go back to chapter 12 or verse 12, that may have been a more natural break than what they picked. That's where it is. But chapter 12, it starts talking about one man. Through one man, sin entered the world. We talk about Adam, and it goes on by one man, Jesus, we're all redeemed. And then chapter 6 starts a conversation about death, or continues the conversation about sin and how we die if we sin. And it gives a couple of examples about how sin has control of us. It uses phrases like the old man, and that is sin, and phrases. It talks about slaves and how being a slave to sin, we're slaves to sin. That's kind of the background, the setup for Romans 7. Romans 7 begins, but continues the conversation. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law. Now let me stop there. What's the law? The Ten Commandments? Okay, I hear that. Are there other laws? The books of Moses? I heard something. I didn't catch what it was. What was it? Yes, there are other laws. Okay. What other laws? Physics. Laws in physics. Newton's laws. An object in motion remains in motion unless it's acted upon by an outside force. An object at rest stays at rest. Newton's first and second law. And I stopped before I finished them. And they prove true. What's the one that works every time, no matter what? There we go. No matter what goes up, it will come down. Even if it has jet propulsion, because it'll eventually run out of fuel. These are laws that God has given us. There's other laws that were instituted early in the Bible, within the first chapter, first, second chapter. Laws of marriage. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate here, but I bring up marriage because, well, Paul talks about marriage in this chapter. But the earthly marriage, as Paul mentions here, we'll look at verse 2. Now, let me finish verse 1. That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Okay, so, or do you not know, brethren, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? Now, that doesn't mean it has dominion over me because I'm male. This word specifically is anthropos in the Greek, which means mankind. So, the law, that is the Ten Commandments, in this case, has dominion over everyone as long as they're alive. And it continues, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. So are there laws about marriage? There are. Okay? One of the basic, most basic ones is once you're married, you don't mess around with anybody else. You stay with that person. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. And that would go both ways. Husband or wife, if either one dies, they're released from the law that binds the two of them together. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will then be called an adulteress. Now why? Why would she be called an adulteress? Because legally she'd have two husbands, and that is against God's law of marriage. Stacy. Well, there are laws regarding divorce, and if those laws are not followed, then yes. That's a different discussion that we're not going to get into today. Yeah, that's a Tuesday discussion. We'll cover that at a prayer meeting. Continuing verse 3. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. So that she is no longer, or she is no adulteress, though she is married another man. So even if she were to marry before her husband died, she would be an adulteress until her husband died, her former husband died. Does that make sense? As confusing as that was, it makes sense, kind of, right? There are some of those through this chapter that get you, huh? But they're all, you know, and Paul uses this example of marriage as for us. We are the bride of Christ. We get married. Part of getting married and the spiritual, more spiritual side of marriage is that when you're single, man's going to do what he wants, you know, live whatever, whether it's nowadays, whether it's gaming or working continually or whatever it may be, and the woman's going to hang out with her girlfriends or work or whatever it is that she does. But when you get married, those habits that the guy does and the habits that the girl does have to kind of be put aside, because they're no longer a single man and a single woman. They are now a we. And that time that would be devoted to those individual things should now be devoted to each other. That is much like our spiritual walk. When we have devoted our life to Christ, our life and what we do before we knew Christ is no longer relevant. We must spend that extra time with Him so that we grow closer together and truly become the we with God. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law, verse 4, through the body of Christ, though you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit from God. So you become dead through the law. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be dead through the law? Any thoughts? The law shows us how we live. It shows us not how we live. It shows us where we can make a mistake. Yeah, James? Okay. You're dead to sin so that it no longer affects you. Is that what you said? So you're no longer responsible for it, okay? Okay, you don't respond to sin the way you would because you're dead. It no longer has sway over you. Okay, just want to make sure I understood what you said. The real question is, how do we get there? Okay, trusting in God, the relationship, good. Verse 5, for we were in the flesh. The sinful passions were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, so we serve, why? What? For love, okay. When we were in the flesh, we do whatever, because it's what we wanted to do. But the law, now that we have it, shows us that that's not right anymore. It's now sin. Because it was always sin, but now we know it's sin. Yes. Very good. The law is a mirror. And I was getting there in just a second. Is the law sin? Verse 7 asks that question. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? The law is not sin. Like Stacy said, the law shows us where we sin. On the contrary, I would have not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Now, why covetousness? Why did he pick covetousness? I'd like to propose here that covetousness is really kind of the root of all of them. Covetousness says, I see it, I want it. My paraphrase here, the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before me. I want to rule my life. This is the counter, would be, I want to rule my life. Don't make an image of anything created. I like what I see, therefore I want to worship that. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. I will say what I want. Remember the Sabbath day. I am in charge of my time. Respect your parents. I will do what I want when I want. Don't kill. I'm the only one that really matters. Don't commit adultery. I will love whoever I want, whenever I want. Don't steal. If I like it, I'll take it. Don't lie. I make my own truth. And don't covet. If I see it, I should have one for me. What's the root of all of them? I. So if we hadn't been told we shouldn't do these things, would we know they're wrong? Not necessarily. Now, God's law is never changing, and it's always that way. But if we hadn't heard it, those who haven't heard the word don't know they should live that way. Unless God has revealed to them through Himself. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, verse 8, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. There again, if you don't have the law, the written law, there's no you don't know when you're sinning. So the law, like Stacy said, is our mirror. It shows us where we err. For I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. There again, I was alive, I was doing what I wanted, I was fine. And then the law, I learned the law, and now I'm no longer alive because I'm breaking every one of those because of I'm living the way I want to live. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law shows us where we've gone wrong. It does not change. If we find ourselves at odds with the law, we can't change it because we don't like it. We've got to change us. There are some laws that we choose to live by, such as a budget. Do you ever look at a budget like a law? When you decide this is the budget, it now is the law. You've given it the power. When you don't like what it says, this is where it breaks down. You can have a meeting and decide you want to change it as long as everything still equals. Not with God's law. God's law is what it is. The problem is this. It's difficult to change, isn't it? But are we willing to? Are we willing to change ourselves to follow God? If we're not, what are we doing here? We're wasting our time. It's difficult because we are selfish. Inherently. Even as children. Babies. Because she's so young, I'm going to use my daughter as an example. My little daughter. At 8 months today, even before, when I'm hungry, I want it, I'm going to scream until I get it. I want what I want, and I want it now. We're all like that, aren't we? But are we willing to give that up and follow God? To let Him rule our lives. There are rules to our lives. I printed off some rules for a game. We started with a game. We're going to end with a game. Everybody recognizes that, right? That's Uno. Maybe newfangled cards, but it's still Uno. What happens when I burn the rules? Does it change the rules? Doesn't change them at all, does it? The rules for Uno are still the rules for Uno. God's law does not change. Are we willing to change? To follow God's rules? I know I need to reevaluate sometimes. Relook, am I truly following everything like I should? My Sabbath school class used a phrase. There's a phrase that was used that said, you know, God has called each of us and He wants each of us completely. Here's the thing. Are we willing to give Him complete control? To go, as it were, all in on God. Give Him everything. Our work, our spiritual life, our kids, our family. Let Him control it. God and His law have been the same from the beginning of time. To be in line with Him doesn't mean we change the law. It means we change ourselves. Are you willing to make that change today? Our closing hymn. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Number 329. 329. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let's stand. God's calling each of us to change, to be like Him, to follow His rules continually. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for the law that shows us where we err so that we can follow and become more and more like You. Only ever getting there through Your love and through Your death on the cross. Please go with us now as we separate. Bring us each back together again soon. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.